Welcome to this episode of Horrific History and Hauntings. I'm Beth.
And I'm Ramey. We're your hosts, here to talk about the stories that the history books ignore.
From horrific epidemics and ghostly hauntings to the catastrophes and tragic events that have sickened humanity.
Indeed. Beth, we've actually got ahead of the times for a change.
Yeah.
As ahead as we ever get. Do we have anything that happened today in history?
We do, but first, our topic for this episode is Alcatraz.
It does seem to be coming back into popularity here recently.
But today in history, May 8th is the day we are recording, Mount Pelee on the island of Martinique. It's French.
Mount Pelee?
I believe. Yeah. It was a 4,500-foot mountain on the island's north side. Activity began on April 2nd, 1902, when new steam vents appeared at the peak of the mountain. 3 weeks later, the tremors began to shake the island, and an ash cloud was released. And despite these obvious warnings, residents of St. Pierre did not take any precautions or try to evacuate.
It was a different time.
Mm-hmm. I think it said that they thought they only had to be worried about lava and that they thought they would have enough time to leave if they saw lava.
Not the plume of
toxic gas.
Hot and toxic gas. Heavy ash moving 100 miles an hour.
On May 7th, Mount Soufriere erupted on St. Vincent, killing over 1,500 people. And at this same time, Mount Pelee's activity intensified. There was stronger blasts, tremors, and a 3,000-degree Fahrenheit gas cloud. And this occurred overnight.
So that didn't a lot of people in.
By early morning, a blast sent a boiling avalanche of ash down the mountain, traveling at 300 miles per hour. And St. Pierre was pretty much instantly burned.
Oh, dear.
It's estimated that 27,000 people were killed, and there were only two survivors that were reported. One was a prisoner who was being held in an underground cell. It also caused 15 ships to capsize in the harbor, but one of them was able to stay afloat enough to save half of the crew, but they were still burned.
That's not pleasant, especially back then.
Yeah. And that's our today in history.
On to Alcatraz, I suppose.
Yep. We're going to go off with a little bit of history first. Alcatraz Island was formed millions of years ago when a tectonic plate was smashed under another.
Like a lot of things in that area.
Yeah. The Earth's crust was pushed up and that created mountains, one of which was Alcatraz Island. And this was not surrounded by water at the time. After the last ice age, the rising sea levels flooded that surrounding area and left the mountaintop above water, giving us Alcatraz Island.
Friendly place.
Yeah. Native Americans once used the island for extreme punishment. Those who broke their tribal laws would sometimes be isolated on the island and even forced to live there forever sometimes with what they believed were evil spirits. Trust the Native Americans. There's a reason they're afraid of places. During the 1850s, the U.S. government decided to use Alcatraz Island in San Francisco Bay as a military base. After the Army built the base, they began housing military prisoners there. In 1909, the Army tore down the old fort on Alcatraz and used the fort's basement as a foundation to start building a military prison. The prisoners were the ones who was doing the construction work, by the way.
It was a different time.
Yeah, between 1909 and 1911. The Army continued to use Alcatraz as a prison until 1933 when they gave it to the Bureau of Prisons.
What a name.
Yeah. It could hold up to 336 prisoners, with each prisoner having their own cell. I would like that. It was considered the toughest prison with top security, and it was for troublemaking inmates who tried to escape multiple times and liked to break the prison rules. I guess you could say pretty bad
folks. Bad people among bad people.
Yeah. Even though Alcatraz was thought to be impossible to escape from, our focus today is on the story of three prisoners who were never found after their escape attempt.
It is surrounded by water.
Yes. The official records, however, do say that no one escaped Alcatraz. Five prisoners total were either declared missing or presumed dead because their remains were never found. Alcatraz prison shut down on March 21st, 1963, after 29 years because it costed too much to keep running. It opened in 1934. Fixing it would have been estimated at around $3.3 to $5 million.
And that's at the time.
At the time, yes.
Wonder what it's going to be now.
I don't know. And it's in worse condition, probably. And it was three times more expensive to operate daily than the other prisons.
You have to ferry everything over.
Yeah, that's because it was an isolated island, the reason the prison was built there. So all supplies, including food and even fresh water, had to be shipped by boat.
Yeah.
About 1 million gallons of water each week had to be shipped to the island.
They didn't want them smelling bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it took to cook for them all.
I don't know.
I should say, for anybody who isn't familiar and hasn't really got a gist of the idea just from her explanation, think of the Harry Potter Azkaban prison, and that's pretty much what gave the idea for that. An island prison.
Yeah.
For the worst people.
After Congress formed the Golden Gate National Recreation Area in 1972...
That just rolls off the tongue, don't it?
No. Alcatraz Island was included as a unit of the National Park System, and public access to the island began in the fall of 1973, and it currently brings about 1 million visitors a year.
I don't think it will soon.
Yeah, let's...
Or maybe. I don't know. Oh, can you imagine? Like a zoo.
I think it's technically a museum now.
Not anymore.
Was... in some of the sources of museum, which I'll mention the sources at the end. Now, trying to escape Alcatraz. In 1937, two prisoners, John Paul Scott and Daryl Parker, escaped from Alcatraz, and they were never seen again. In the basement, they sawed through two window bars and forced the window open. They then climbed up some pipes across the cell block roof and down the west wall. I had two different sources say two different things. It says they were never seen again. It says on down... This one's probably true. Daryl Parker was found about 50 yards from the island on a rock, signaling the guards for help. John Paul Scott was discovered exhausted at the base of the Golden Gate Bridge and was easily captured. So either I mixed up prisoners that tried to escape, or two different sources said two different things.
Two different, very, very different things.
Yeah.
Never seen again and found both.
Just before the prison closed in its final year, there were two more escape attempts. And in December 1962, three prisoners managed to get into the bay successfully and have not been found.
They don't know if they're dead or just escaped. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about those three.
Have they never been found?
Well, there's a documentary that I watched that came up with some different evidence.
Okay.
Okay. Over a period of 15 months, brothers John and Clarence Anglin, along with fellow Alcatraz inmate Frank Morris, gathered the Angler, not Anglin. Their names were John and Clarence Angler.
Okay. I wasn't going to question anything because I didn't know. Somebody would have said something.
Yeah. But they gathered the necessary materials for their escape from Alcatraz. The three collected 52 raincoats. Clarence used his stitching skills to make a raft and life preservers. To get more supplies and skills, the three men started painting. They painted pictures of their girlfriends to get skin-colored paint.
Oh.
Yes. And it was used for the dummy heads that they made from a mix of concrete dust, soap, and toilet paper.
A plaster.
Mm-hmm. Like a
head.
Yeah. Clarence, who worked in the barber shop, secretly collected hair from the floor to make the dummy heads look more realistic.
Can you imagine a patchwork look at those things up close? Terrifying.
Oh. By June 11th, 1962, the three inmates had spent months digging holes out of their walls in their cells, and they were ready to attempt their escape. The following day, they made their move, and I think it was like 9:30 at night. They squeezed through the small holes in their cells, which they used to, they hid the work as they went along, obviously.
Behind paintings of their girlfriends.
Yeah. And then they climbed up the ventilator shaft and reached the roof. From there, they moved across the hospital rooftop, went down a smokestack, which they ended up leaving shoe prints that led away from the smokestack. And then they used the rec yard's officer catwalk to get to the surrounding vegetation and made their way into the water.
With all the supplies they needed.
Apparently so.
50-some rain jackets.
Yeah. During their escape, they faced dangers such as strong water tides, cold water temperatures, and swift currents. Some sources say shark attacks as well, but the water is actually cold, and I thought sharks don't like cold water.
Some of them don't mind as much, I'm guessing.
But another source I found said that that is actually a myth. The only sharks that are there are bottom feeders.
Oh.
Take what that would.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was initially thought that they placed their raincoat raft in the water and just paddled away. However, there is a new theory after the family came forward with new evidence. The brothers' family.
Not the raincoats.
Not the raincoats. Not Frank's either.
Okay.
Now it's believed that the three moved around the perimeter of the island to the other side where they could avoid guard towers easily. And then they made their way to the prison boat dock. After the escape, it was discovered that 125 feet of electrical cord, which had been stored near the boat dock, was missing. The final ferry that night that was used to transport guards to and from the prison had departed at 12:10 a.m.
So they got the idea of just tying it to the back of the ferry and many feet behind, just kind of puttering along.
Yeah.
Well, smarter than paddling yourself across the bay.
The next morning, they found in Frank Morris's cell a popular mechanics magazine with the article, How to Build a Homemade Raft, as well as another magazine or article on how to tie and untie knots on a boat dock.
They really let that slip through, didn't they?
Yeah, that's strange articles to just randomly have. Using the electrical cord, they are thought to have gone under the water to tie the electrical cord to the rudder of the boat. They then used their raft to be towed a certain distance, where they untied the cord and paddled to a waiting getaway boat. A police officer reported witnessing a suspicious boat idling near the island at that time as well, but his report was ignored.
Well, why wouldn't it be? It seems unlikely anybody would build a raft and escape the island.
Yeah. The reason John and Clarence were sent to Alcatraz after trying to escape from two other prisons was because they were originally arrested for robbing a bank in Alabama with a toy gun with their older brother, Alfred.
True menaces of society. Yeah.
So that was the original reason. And then they started breaking out or trying to break out of two other prisons. So they were sent to Alcatraz.
Good luck breaking out there.
Well, despite receiving a note telling the warden at Alcatraz that John and Clarence were a high escape risk if kept near each other, he decided to put the two brothers in neighboring cells.
Friendly. And it's easier for the paperwork, I'm sure.
Yes. I didn't hear much about Frank Morris in this documentary, but it was discovered that he had an IQ of 133. So they thought maybe he was the
brains of the outfit.
Yeah.
Other people were the runners.
Mm-hmm.
The raincoat haulers.
3 years after the prison escape, the relatives of the brothers received Christmas cards from the brothers, I'm assuming, signed names.
Well, that's kind of sweet.
Yeah. So they started to think that they were alive. The family did.
I can't blame them.
And then the life vests and the raft was found later near the island. The FBI began harassing the Engler family because they thought they were hiding information. Ken and David Widener are the nephews of the Engler brothers. They're the ones that came forward and shared more evidence. They revealed that a family friend gave them a picture of the brothers in 1992. They also disclosed that photos of the two had been sent to the family in 1975. And according to a childhood friend who claimed to have seen John in Brazil, the brothers became farmers there. And their mother actually recorded the conversation with Fred Breezy, who was the childhood friend, with the information and the pictures. And a background check on Fred Breezy revealed a hefty criminal record, including involvement in a smuggling operation. And it was found he was also a pilot and that he could have been someone who could have helped the brothers escape.
Yeah. Wonder
because he was their friend.
I wonder if they got away with any of their money.
And got into trouble. I don't know.
I mean, they had to pay for all this help somehow. Hmm. Unless they worked it off. Who knows? It did seem kind of handy.
A letter received by law enforcement in 2013, believed to be from John, mentioned that he had cancer, had moved around after he escaped, and was currently in Southern California. The letter offered a surrender in exchange for only serving 1 year and the guarantee of medical treatment.
Sounds like a plea for help.
Authorities did not inform John's family about receiving this letter, which did not help the family with the trust issues they already had with them because of the aggressive way they were treated during the manhunt after the escape. So it's no wonder they didn't want to.
I can't blame them.
The envelope included no information about the sender or where they're from. All that was on it was 2013, the post stamp. It was found that the handwriting in the letter did not match the samples of John's known handwriting sample. Authorities determined that that letter was actually a hoax.
Somebody else trying to get help.
After a forensic artist analyzed the photos provided by the nephews alongside the brothers' mugshots, they determined it was highly probable that they were the people in the pictures that the family brought forward after the escape. They said that there was many more similarities than there were differences. So it was probable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of good. I don't know. I didn't want somebody to drown in the bay. And all they did was rob a bank. It ain't like they murdered someone.
With a toy gun.
Yeah.
On to the hauntings. Staff and visitors have reported a variety of eerie sounds, including men's voices, screaming, whistling, metal doors clanging, crying, moaning, and the sounds of gunshots.
Sounds like the kind of things you'd hear in a prison
yeah.
of that era.
Yes. The guards would also report foul odors and describe something called the Thing. It was an entity with glowing red eyes that would occasionally appear.
A Mothman?
I don't think so.
Foul odor? Seems unlikely considering all the water they went through. Those inmates are clean.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Sounds like a terrible place to visit anyway.
Yeah. Some have claimed to have seen ghostly prisoners and soldiers. And there's also been reports of an apparition at the burnout building that was once the warden's house. The old lighthouse is reportedly seen on foggy nights with the sound of whistling and a flashing green light that moves around the island and then randomly vanishes.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to be found that anything was even there.
At first, it sounded like a normal lighthouse.
Yeah. And one of the sources said that it was the first lighthouse in the East Coast. Or West Coast. Sorry.
I was going to say.
We're on the East. We're on the East. West Coast, California side.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Sorry. That was just the one source that said that. So I don't know if that's true or not.
Okay.
It was just what I found. The prison's D block is said to be the most haunted part of the prison. It served as a 42-cell treatment unit where prisoners were isolated from the general population, denied work privileges, only allowed to eat meals in their cells, and were limited to one rec yard visit and two showers a week. So it probably was stinky.
Yeah, those are the stinky ones, unfortunately. That's cruel.
Yeah. It was also much colder because of where it was located. The air or the breeze from the cold water would hit that side more, apparently. There was also a rumor that one of the guards would turn on the AC to make it further colder.
Well, that was awful.
For the inmates, yeah. The most serious violations of prison rules in the D block contained five isolation cells known as the hole.
The thing you hear about in every movie or crime TV show.
Yeah. The punishments involved in these were no yard time at all, no mattresses in the cells during the daytime, no showers, and no entertainment or books.
Okay. Madness. Just madness
so
and dizzy.
Stinky madness.
Yeah.
These cells contained only a toilet and a sink with a mattress provided only at night.
Well, I guess you could wash off in this thing if that water was that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. The final cell in D block was for the most extreme punishment. It had no sink and no toilet. Instead, the prisoners were blessed to use a hole in the floor to relieve themselves.
Huh.
The stink is starting to make sense.
Yeah. Wonder if it just hangs over the bay or something.
I don't know.
Like something you see out of a horror movie.
I don't know. But the prisoners were stripped naked before being put in the cell. They were given a restricted diet, and they were subjected to darkness and sensory deprivation. The cell was also said to be even colder than the rest of D block.
And nothing to cover up with. It kind of compels you not to be bad, I guess. That's the point.
Yeah. An inmate, once locked in the hole, started screaming about a figure with glowing eyes in the cell with him. The guards ignored his cries. And then he went silent. The next morning, he was found dead with a look of terror on his face. The autopsy revealed that marks on his neck were not consistent with self-strangulation as well.
Now, something got him or a guard got him.
Some suspect that a guard strangled him to stop him from screaming, but there was no evidence found during the investigation to prove anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Others believed that the violent ghost from the 19th century that was frequently seen in the area was responsible for the death, because apparently it was a little bit violent,
yeah.
Not happy, ghosty.
Well, why would it be? There's somebody built a prison on his house.
Adding to this, it was said that during the daily inmate count that day, one extra prisoner was counted. They say that at the end of the line was the recently deceased inmate, and then he vanished in thin air.
That would make you uneasy, stuck yeah. in a place like that.
And some say banjo music can be heard coming from Al Capone's cell. But he wasn't allowed instruments in his cell, so I don't know why that makes.
Was he fond of the banjo?
I don't know. I don't know much about Al Capone.
It doesn't strike me as a banjo player.
Yeah. Machine Gun Kelly, not the rapper, but the actual Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
Also was there at one point. And it's also thought that if the big earthquake in California did happen, they seem to think that Alcatraz would be the safest place to be. I was thinking, but what if it triggers a tsunami? It's an island.
Yeah, how far? Well, how, it depends on how tall the tsunami would be.
So I don't know.
How many people can you get up on the tallest peak of that place?
Yeah.
I mean, it is a solid concrete facility, right? If I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it is a rock mountain, I believe.
Yeah.
But
imagine the fault opening up beneath you. No, I have no idea where they run through there. I just watched San Andreas.
Mm, so that's what I have for that.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah. There's also some shipwrecks around the island, but I didn't go into those.
Mm.
I figure we also have horrific hydros. I might go into them on that.
Mm-hmm.
But
The island had a lot of history. Like more recently, mm-hmm. a group of Native Americans tried to make it into a home.
And
here recently, it's been deemed fit to be reopened by someone as a prison again.
If it was too expensive then.
It don't matter. He's got all that tariff money to spend.
Also, clearly, I believe that those guys escaped. So it's clearly not inescapable.
Did I tell you?
I think it was said 2 10-year-old children actually swam across to the island.
You know, Kara and Nate, they swam it too.
Who?
Kara and Nate, those YouTubers I told you about, the travel ones.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they swam it too.
So it's clearly you can escape.
Yeah. It's a scare factor.
I guess, yeah. And you're going to be in a supposedly haunted place. Mm-hmm. And even the Native Americans thought that evil spirits lived there.
There's a lot more to look into in this. And we might visit it again, depending on how things turn out.
The sources, not the websites, because obviously I went through websites as well, but the sources that were documentaries were Alcatraz Escape, Lost Evidence, and a National Geographic show, Drain the Oceans.
I've seen all those on Discovery Plus earlier and didn't watch them.
I watch them multiple times a year. I love them.
Okay.
This particular episode was Drain Alcatraz, obviously.
Yeah.
No, they have a bunch of them, and I watch them multiple times a year. That and Life Without People.
I used to like watching that when I was in school, but I just don't watch it much anymore. They covered all the important ones. I told her we needed to do this episode.
There's still more to that. Like I said, there's shipwrecks and the whole geography of why it's considered so dangerous. Like the water is pouring in there and different tides and different strong currents going different directions.
Yeah. The history of violence and escape to the place, it's kind of just scarier than it seem than it was in the long run, other than the hole and all that, but
that I don't care. That you're just making it unsanitary for everybody and stinky. Give them a toilet.
They have a hole in the
ground. No, that's not a toilet.
Technically, we had another episode planned for the day, but I want to just swap it out. You'll hear it in a week or two. If it sounds like we're not speaking in the right order, it's because we recorded that 2 weeks ago. Okay, well, thank you, Beth. If you like what you heard here, we're part of the Gruesome Gaming Group Podcast Network. We have two other podcasts. We have Leveling Duo. It's a podcaster, me and my friend Dakota, or me and Beth, or whoever, talk about video games we really enjoy. We also have Brother Knows Quest. It's a podcast that's also on hiatus along with Leveling Duo. But if you want to listen to the old episodes, they're there. Me and Beth here talk about tabletop role-playing games. We have two YouTube channels, Gruesome Gaming Plays and, well, the one that hosts a podcast, Gruesome Gaming Group. If you want those, all of them will be in a Linktree link in the description, including a link to an eBay shop that will let you find things and help keep the podcast hosted. We just sell odd techy things, iPhone cases, speakers, microphones, things we no longer use and upgraded from, brand new things. The phone cases are all brand new. Whatever odd stuff we can find that people might like. Good phone chargers, Otterbox stuff. My mother's homemade crosses made of beads. They're there. She likes those. I like those. They're kind of cool. Oh, today in history, another tragedy struck, I should say. I had a pre-order for a Nintendo Switch 2, and the card's due to expire before they come out, and I had no idea that Walmart would just put a hold on the money and release it, and then charge me the day it was shipped, so my card will expire before my pre-order ships.
Oh.
And I messaged them today, they said, all we can do is cancel it and try to reorder. I'm like, yeah, like, that's going to happen. I guess maybe I'll be supporting the scalper community. Who knows? But I will have a Switch 2. To me, that's a tragedy. Below all those links, there's a link that allows you to send us a tip if you think we deserve it. We appreciate it. Another thing to help keep the podcast hosted. If not, use the eBay option. That's pretty good. It's called The Gruesome Gaming General Goods on eBay. If you want to reach out to us, there's a bunch of social links in the link tree, as well as emails in the description below. Also, there is a link for the music you heard at the intro and outro of this episode. You should be hearing it right about now. Thank you for listening. I've been Ramey.
And I'm Beth.
And this has been HH&H. Bye-bye.